Welcome to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I come to you weekly with a critical, independent voice on the politics and practice of health. How can women get it right? If we don't have regular periods, the medical establishment wants us to take birth control pills to regulate them, unless we're postmenopausal. Then we're not supposed to take hormones unless our endometrial lining gets too thick from not having periods. Then we're supposed to take, you got it, hormones in strong enough doses to start our periods again. No, wait. Now women can actually opt for never having periods by taking, oh, right again, birth control pills, really potent ones to stop our periods, especially if we have really uncomfortable periods from too much estrogen. Then we should take these birth control pills that deliver a really potent estrogen with the equivalent of about 20 times our normal endogenous estrogen levels to stop our periods while we're fertile. But then, of course, we're not fertile while we're taking them. And hey, what about all the reasons we weren't supposed to take hormones after menopause? The concerns about our uterine lining and cancers and all that other scary stuff? I really hope you're confused, because you really, really should be. Of course, you could just avoid the whole issue by just sending all your money to the pharmaceutical companies. I'm joined today by Dr. Jeffrey Fawcett, an environmental economist, writer, health educator, who produces the show with me and is editor of the Progressive Health Observer, and Dr. David Zava, who is the president and owner of Z as in Zebra, R as in Ralph, T as in Tom Labs, ZRT Labs. He's been instrumental in developing research projects with physicians and academic groups to understand the role of steroid hormones in health and disease for the past decade. He also continues to educate the public and healthcare professionals through his published writings on saliva, hormone testing, hormone imbalance, and hormone links to health and disease. He served as scientific laboratory director for Aran Biotechnology and Aran Life Cycles for almost 10 years, where he helped to develop commercialized methods for testing breast cancer specimens and steroid hormone testing in saliva. Besides various publications, he has authored a landmark book, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Breast Cancer, How Hormone Balance Can Help Save Your Life, which he wrote with Dr. John Lee, MD. He has served as a chief of the steroid receptor section at John Muir Cancer and Aging Research Institute and directed studies on hormonal regulation of breast cancer. He joins us as well, and our topic today is menstrual suppression cautions. This idea about menstrual suppression is not a new idea. Just to give you some history, in late March of 2000, the New Yorker magazine carried a report about the research of Malcolm Pike and Brian Henderson. They suggested stopping very young women's periods with the hormone blocker Lupron and controlling them so that they menstruated infrequently with the use of birth control pills. The reasons that they gave for doing this is that historically women were pregnant and lactating from puberty to menopause, and this protected them from exposure to the hormones that cause breast cancer. So stopping menstruation would, they thought, likewise be protective. So it sounds like I have a guest on the line. Is that you, David?
Yes, it is.
Oh, goody. I'm glad you're there. Back in 2002, this was like, I think it was March of 2002, I actually had you, David Zava, and John Lee, the late John Lee, who died actually in 2003, this was in 2000, on to discuss this topic. And what was going on was these researchers, Malcolm Pike and Brian Henderson, had this theory. The issues that we're going to need to cover here are both political and health. Jeff, I think, will cover the sociologic issues, the politics, and then David Zava and I will go over the scientific and health issues. And they include the difference between patented synthetic hormones versus bioidentical hormones, and some of the very disturbing health effects from research findings on synthetic hormones, what they seem to be causing in terms of problems. Hormone balance is a way of protecting women from cancers, endometriosis, menstrual abnormalities, and discomfort, and why it is that this approach actually won't work and may lead to some serious health problems over time. Jeff has dashed off to see why it was that we didn't have anybody on the other end of the line here. And so I will start first with you, David, and then we'll go back to some of the sociologic issues that this brings up. When you and I talked last night, one of the things that came up right away that's very disturbing about this new theory of suppressing women's period. Well, first of all, actually, let me just get you to talk about why this idea of women having control over this is being sold as some kind of new freedom for women, you know, to control their menstrual cycles. I think that it's the reason that women are thinking of this at all is because they're having uncomfortable menstrual cycles. And what you and I have been trying to teach people is that that isn't necessary. You don't have to have uncomfortable menstrual cycles. But in general, why don't you just start by saying something about why suppressing menstruation is a bad idea for the body?
Well, it requires using synthetic progestins, which is what they use for suppressing menstruation. And all forms of birth control pills are synthetic hormones, and any synthetic hormone that you put in your body, we know from the research, at least on breast cancer, that it is going to, all the synthetic progestins, no matter what they are, going to increase your risk of breast cancer in the long term. And the younger a woman starts using a birth control pill, the more likely she's going to get a breast cancer, such as a premenopausal breast cancer at a younger age. The synthetic progestins suppress all of the natural hormones, the sex hormones in your body. They suppress estradiol production. You need estradiol for brain function. You need estradiol for normal bone function. Your cardiovascular system suppresses natural progesterone production. You need natural progesterone for good sleep patterns.
Okay, well, you know what? You're going further in the direction of synthetic versus bioidentical than I wanted to go right away, although this I do want to go over all of this. One thing I need to ask you, David, are we on speakerphone with you?
We are, yes.
Why don't I get you to pick up the phone, because we're getting a sort of strange echoey sound from you, and it'd be better if you were on the handset. And while you're doing that, if it's okay, I will move.
Does that work?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, good.
What I want to do is go back to the issue of synthetic hormones in a minute and unpack that for people. Mm-hmm. But is there anything that you want to say before I move to Jeff to talk about some of the sociological issues about just right on the surface of it?
Long term, it increases risk for many different types of diseases in the body.
Right.
Anytime you put a synthetic hormone in your body.
No. But I mean, aside from the use of the hormones that are synthetic, which are very dangerous, just stopping women from having periods, I think, is a bad idea for a variety of reasons, aside from the way they're doing it.
Well, it's unnatural.
It's not only unnatural, but when women stop their periods for one reason or another, either because they have metabolic syndrome like polycystic ovaries, where they're eating too much sugar and they've thrown the balance of their hormones over to testosterone, or whether women stop their periods because they're under stress and they're over-exercising with amenorrhea, doctors don't like to see women's periods stop like that. They start losing bone mass.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to talk about is that, you know, you do suppress testosterone levels and estrogen levels, natural estrogen, and you will lose, in the long term, you'll lose bone mass too. So there's a whole lot of different things that can go wrong. It increases the chances of insulin resistance. You get more weight gain in the waist. There's a whole lot of things that begin to go wrong. So you fix one thing, you stop, you know, if having a period is a problem, you stop that, but you create 10 other things, which is typical of most of the drugs on the marketplace today. You fix one thing and you create five others, but you then have drugs to treat those five other things, and a person becomes a polypharmacy, you know, for the pharmaceutical industry, and that's kind of what they want, is that you're going to be dependent on many drugs.
Yeah, because you're going to need a drug to treat the new symptoms that you get from suppressing your periods. Before we go on, and I want to move right when we come back from Jeffrey, I want to move on to the synthetic progestin issue and the issue of they're not only doing something which interrupts. Menstruation is a sign of health. When a woman stops menstruating, that's a symptom of something being wrong. So here we are forcing women, you know, it's this very strange thing. But there are some really interesting political issues around this, and so I want to bring Jeff Fawcett, PhD, in here to talk about that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
when I first started digging into this issue, I recalled that my daughter at the beginning of the month sent me the May 5th thought for the month, which is social progress can be measured by the social position of the female sex. May 5th is the birthday of Karl Marx, and that's a quote from him. And that kind of framed my thinking about what's going on here. The context here is very broadly that a product for contraception is being shifted to suppress menstruation. And although there's a dance going around that the reason for suppressing menstruation is for medical reasons, it's pretty clear that Wyeth, the maker of Libril, which is the drug that has just been approved by the FDA, is going to market this heavily to the freedom and control issue to particularly to any woman. And one of the things that's kind of interesting about the discussion in that's appeared in the press around this is that there's a lot of caution on the part of both journalists and then some dissenting voices. And one of those voices comes from a group who's supported a lot of research, basically feminist research, about how both in the research literature and then in society itself, there's a considerable amount of negative association with having menstruation. And so the marketing for this product is playing upon that. In a review of this research, these scholars found that the vast majority of the research focuses on premenstrual changes in PMS, but there's very little research on menstruation itself. That is, on I'm talking now from the psychosocial standpoint, that sort of research, and that the basic approach is that menstruation is a problem, that it is something that needs to be managed. And there's very little about, as Lena discussed, very little discussion about how menstruation is, the phrase that this group of people uses, is a vital sign. Now, if you think that there are pro-woman, that all pro-woman organizations are critical of this new approach, you should know that organizations like Planned Parenthood think that Libril is just really great stuff. This is a quote from the Vice President for Medical Affairs of Planned Parenthood. Quote, FDA approval of Libril is great news for women who want or need to safely suppress their menstrual cycle, and now they have the convenience of a full year's birth control prescription to do it. It's kind of a single-issue blindness. In a recent review of research, or one of the few places where research was reviewed, there was gotta find the right review. The researchers associated. Like I said, these research areas often approach menstruation as an event accompanied by negative changes, sometimes treating menstruation itself as a negative experience that requires considerable coping. So, just lost my place. So the marketing is clear that what they're playing to is a shift from, as they call it in corporate world, a repurposing of a product from contraception to a lifestyle drug.
Right.
And we have seen this before, this issue of freedom and control, when a generation ago, we had cigarette manufacturers creating brands specifically for women and repurposing cigarettes as a means for women to express their freedom. And that is exactly what we are seeing today.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening. And then just to go back to what we said at the top of the show, as I said, menstruation is a sign of health, and when menstruation is interrupted, traditionally doctors have been very concerned because it means that something is wrong. You know, in other words, it isn't just, we're talking about interrupting them with synthetic hormones, and David is going to explain why that's a bad idea. But even aside from that, when a woman stops menstruating, it means that she's been under extreme stress or that her metabolic system is under siege in some way, like she has the beginnings of a diabetic sort of thing. Yes, Jeffrey?
Now, I want to emphasize this as a follow-on to what I said, that the discussion is shifting from problem periods to menstruation being a problem.
Yes.
Generally.
Yes.
That's the shift in reference here. And
well,
that's the ground on which, that's the marketing ground on which that's the whole thing's happening.
Well, and that is frightening. It's the same way that they pathologized menopause. Menopause, and it all goes back to the same thing. If a woman is having extremely painful, disruptive periods and she's bleeding all the time, more often than not, David, wouldn't you agree that that's a sign that her estrogen ratio is not balanced with her progesterone? Because progesterone tends to eliminate PMS symptoms and to balance the estrogen so that you don't have these heavy bleeding episodes.
Yeah, it's related very closely to an excess of estrogen. It's the pipes, the uterine lining get too thick, and often you get too much vascularization and you get bleeding, but also bleeding is an issue of indirectly of estrogen excess, and that is related to a thyroid deficiency. The pipes become very flawed when you don't have enough thyroid hormone, and that's very common in women who don't have a good balance between their estrogen and progesterone. Your thyroid is not working right, so it's the structure, it's the lining of the uterus that becomes defective without adequate amounts of thyroid hormone, and that is extremely, and you know this, it's extremely common in women as they're approaching menopause, and their ovaries are overproducing estrogen.
Well, increasingly, it's happening in young women as well. I'm seeing a lot of estrogen dominance, both because of xenoestrogens and because of the dietary indiscretions. I think that pharmaceuticals are interfering with hormone balance as well. Stress, exposure to radiation, lots of discrete forms of radiation like extra wireless and all this stuff. Very quickly, you're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman. I'm here with Jeff Fawcett, PhD, and I have on the line David Zava, Z as in zebra, A-V-A, David Zava, PhD, from ZRT Labs, and we're talking about this menstrual suppression cautions, and we're cautioning. So here we are back at this point where women are supposed to feel good about the idea of controlling their periods using a drug to do this. Again, it goes back to this flawed idea that if you basically castrate women chemically and then control their periods, that they will not be bathed in hormones as much of their life and that this will protect them from later cancers. But in fact, when you look at the literature, the cancers, there's more cancer risk with people who start having anovulatory cycles really young. There was a study from Britain, 25-year study, using birth control pills, and they saw much more, these were very young women, saw much higher death rates from cervical cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, suicide, cardiovascular deaths. They were taking more, there was a lot of psychological problems too. One of the things that when we talked about this issue on the air also many years ago in 2000, One of the things, David, that you talked about, which was really wonderful, was you explained the difference between, we have two different synthetic hormones. By synthetic, we mean these do not match the molecular structure of the kind that the body makes themselves. There are bioidentical hormones that you can get. These are not bioidentical because they're patented, so they can be sold as a drug. One of the issues is the type of estrogen, and we had a conversation about that last night, and then the other was the progesterone, and you were starting to explain that. Can you explain the main differences in terms of activity between bioidentical progesterone, what kinds of wonderful effects it has in the body that the synthetic progestins do not?
With regard to the, if you think about progesterone is a specific molecule that your ovaries produce, and you make a little bit in your adrenal glands too. Pharmaceutical industry has done is they've taken the progesterone molecule and they added some side groups to it to make synthetic derivatives. That way they can patent it. They can't patent what Mother Nature made, which is progesterone. So the difference is, so they are similar in that they will go into cells and they'll bind receptors and they'll do all the things that progesterone will do. And they're very potent and they manage to make it through the gastrointestinal tract when you take them orally. The difference is really where it starts to happen is the metabolites of natural progesterone form things like allopregnanolone, which goes to the brain and has a calming effect on the brain. It helps with the cardiovascular function, allowing for more nitric oxide being made in the coronary arteries, so you get more expansion, more blood flow into the...
So it's cardioprotective.
It's cancer protective. There's just a lot of benefits to the hormone that Mother Nature made for us. When you look at the synthetic hormone, it does not convert into the metabolites that go to the brain and hit the GABA receptors and have a calming effect, so it doesn't help with sleep. It does not have the cardioprotective effects, and when we look at its relationship to risk for breast cancer, we're seeing that natural progesterone is protective of the breast, and the synthetic progestins, every single one of them they studied, increase the risk for breast cancer. Every single one of them. And it doesn't matter the dose that they use, and it doesn't matter the type. There's anywhere from, you know, 1.5 to 4-fold increased risk. And that's only with 2 or 3 years of use. You think about these women that are using it for 10 years. Their risk continues to accumulate compounds as the longer they use the synthetic progestin. So you think about a woman on birth control pills for a long, long time, it can increase her risk. Not as much as the types of hormone replacement therapy used in postmenopausal women, but it does. And if your very young woman is using a synthetic progestin, because the breast stem cells, they're very primordial stem cells, are very vulnerable to cosmic rays, to radiation, to all different sorts of things.
Viruses,
anything.
Xenochemicals.
Progestins, so the younger they expose their breast to these things, the more damage can occur, because those cells will, in time, given enough time, will fully differentiate. And it's kind of, I explain, it's like a leaf on a tree. You can damage it, but you're not going to make, you know, that leaf turn into a cancer-like cell.
Yeah, actually, the way that I usually describe it that I've noticed works pretty well is that if you look at a cancer cell under a microscope, you don't know where it came from. You just can't tell. It's just a cancer cell. But if you take a breast cell or a liver cell and you look under a microscope, it looks like the cell from that organ or that part of the body, and that's differentiation. And the first step toward a cell being recruited into a cancer cell is that it loses its distinctive qualities.
It does have a characteristic. The closer it is to normal, you know, the closer it is, the more differentiated the cancer is, the closer it is to what the normal cell looks like. As it begins to lose, that becomes more and more aggressive. It loses the characteristics of where it came from, and those are the most aggressive kinds of cancers.
A couple of other things that were mentioned in the last show is that John quoted studies that show that birth control pills increase the risk of breast cancer by 8% a year. So in 8 years, you double your risk, including strokes.
They can
from the progestins.
The risk is higher in the in the younger women.
Yes. But the additional thing here is that when you go back and look at older women, you look at the WHI studies which were pulled. This was such a... We did a show on that, too, when it came out. But these studies were pulled because there were so many bad things happening to the women using the synthetic progestins and Premarin, which is a horse estrogen. And then they went back and they did estrogen alone. And the newspapers were reporting double the risk of clotting with estrogen alone. That's all they talked about. And if you dig around in the article, they might have said something else. So I got a copy of that study, and Jeffrey and I went through it and with a kind of flea comb. And what we discovered was that the risk of colon cancers and all these other interesting cancers went way down. Cardiovascular risk was sort of stable or something. But there was the risk of stroke in 100,000 people is 0.1%. So it's a tenth of a percent. So it doubled to 0.2%. But you could also say it went up by a tenth of a percent in 100,000 people, which is not very significant. And we know that estrogen, it causes more clotting because it's supposed to be balanced with these other hormones. But then the part that they didn't report on, which just blew my mind, is that it was just a hair away from statistical significance that the breast cancer rate went down almost by half in women taking estrogen alone. So that means that it was the progestins, was the Provera that was causing all the problems.
Yeah, it's not just Provera. It's any of the synthetic progestins. And when you study, you look at the literature on natural progesterone has exactly the opposite effect. It lowers the risk in every single study.
Yeah, half the studies here.
It just amazes me that Prop 65 is telling women that progesterone has risk for breast cancer. They looked at that in some odd animals, and they used abnormal levels, and they used odd chemicals, and then they come up with this story about progesterone having risk for... It's not progesterone, it's the synthetic progestins that are dangerous. The evidence is overwhelming that natural progesterone is protective of the breast, and that synthetic progestins increase risk. Every single study shows that.
Well, and I have a bunch of them here. I printed them out. I don't know whether I should go. All of them are in, I think, the breast cancer book, which your doctor may not tell you about. Breast cancer, all of the studies are cited in there. But, you know, there's the famous one where they did lumpectomies on women with breast cancer and gave them some progesterone gel. The ones that used the progesterone gel before the lumpectomy had clear margins, and the ones who didn't did not had invasion, you know. And there's also a wonderful study that was done at the Primate Center by Hermsmeyer, I think is his name, where they used, they took female monkeys that had their ovaries and uterus removed, which is so charming, and then they gave them heart attacks, and the... estrogen alone stopped the heart attack, but when they added synthetic progestin, it interfered with the protective effects of the estrogen.
Right.
And then he was going to go on. I don't know if he ever did and use progestin.
Estrogen is very protective, but you got to realize
it has to be balanced.
It's all about the dose. It's all about
yes.
You know, physiologic
yes.
levels. And unfortunately...
Yes, but you know what? I know you're going to go on a tear here for a minute, and I do want to hear the tear, but I have to just quickly say that we're going to take a very brief musical break. When we come back, what we're going to do is talk about these estrogens that are in Libril and these birth control pills and why they are so potent and dangerous. So hang tight. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman with Jeff Fawcett and David Zava, both PhDs, and we are talking about menstrual suppression cautions. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. We are doing a show today with Jeff Fawcett, Ph.D., and with David Zava, Z-A-V-A, Ph.D., from ZRT Labs. The website for ZRT Labs is Z as in Zebra, R as in Robert, T as in Tom, ZRT Lab, L-A-B, ZRTLAB.com. And just so you know, there's information about our July 1st appearance, live appearance, our guests, the Progressive Health Observer, and a free stream of this week's show, and lots more at yourownhealthandfitness.org. And our information number, again, is 707-874-2772. So before we went to break, David, you were about to launch into to discuss the tricky business that's going on with this particular form of synthetic estrogen and why it's so difficult and so potent. David? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so did you hear my question?
I did.
Good, so go for it.
Okay, the estrogen that's used in almost all forms of birth control pills is called ethinyl estradiol. It's estradiol is the natural estrogen that your body makes, and the way when the ovaries produce estrogen during the menstrual cycle, they spike right around ovulation, and it waves back up again in second half of the cycle to get everything ready for fertilization of the egg and the implantation of the egg into the lining of the uterus. So that's what estradiol is there for, and it also is beneficial for the heart, the brain, all sorts of parts of your body. And the synthetic estrogen is called ethinyl estradiol, and it is basically what they've done is put a side group on it so that when you take it orally, it absorbs better into your gastrointestinal tract. Now, when the natural estrogen, estradiol, is produced in your body, it goes to the liver and it tells the liver, make some binding protein, because we don't want this estrogen to be too active. If it goes up too high, it makes what's called sex hormone binding globulin, and that binds to the estrogen and keeps too much of it from getting into the cells. That's the natural estrogen, estradiol. Ethinyl estradiol, which is in birth control pills, when you take it orally, it goes straight to the liver and it makes a lot of this sex hormone binding globulin. And what that does is that soaks up all of the estradiol that's there, the natural estradiol that's there, but it also soaks up even more of the testosterone. So you basically become deficient in the estradiol and you become deficient in the testosterone. Well, that's okay, you become deficient in the estradiol because you've got ethinyl estradiol to replace that. But you don't have any testosterone, so women will lose their libido, they can lose bone, because you need testosterone for good bone health. The problem with another problem with inducing such large, it's like SHBG, sex hormone binding globulin, is like a sponge. It soaks all these things up. And it doesn't go away right away when you stop taking it. It can stay high for a long period of time. So your body's not getting the natural estrogens when you use a synthetic estrogen like that. So it can really wreak havoc on all the natural systems of your body, your brain, your bones, your connective tissue, your muscles. These all require a certain amount of testosterone, and that can create a problem when you're not getting enough of it. And we see when we do hormone testing in women that are on birth control pills, they have just literally no estradiol. They have no testosterone. Their progesterone also is very low because they don't ovulate anymore. So this is not natural for the body year after year after year not to have any of these natural hormones present. And it's part of the reason that women feel so rotten. I mean, you all of you people listening, you know about women that, or yourself, know that when you started taking a birth control pill, you didn't feel natural. You felt like something was off. And that's because your neurotransmitters are not working right, because your cardiovascular system's not working right. Things are off, and you know this, and you feel this in your body, because you have suppressed the production of natural hormones within your body by using a synthetic hormone.
Yeah, so to be really clear, you're blocking your native hormones,
exactly,
which actually have really complex, attach in very complex ways to receptors all over your body. So they have very subtle effects, and they interact with each other, and they have they work in concert in a very complicated way. So you're, first of all, this is a potent estrogen because it is you mentioned to me that it itself doesn't get suppressed by the sex hormone binding globulin.
No, it won't. Sex hormone binding globulin is a sponge that will not soak up.
Won't soak it up. So you become really estrogen dominant. And I'm imagining that if it's increasing sex hormone binding globulin, then it's decreasing your progesterone. Although you're now putting in a synthetic progestin, which will also suppress your native production of progesterone. So you're adding in the hormones, and you're artificially, because of the sex hormone binding globulin deal and this synthetic estrogen being immune to it, you are just automatically creating a situation where you've got terrible estrogen dominance, which in fact is the reason why women usually bleed out during their periods. You know, the other problem with all of this is that when you look at what's going on with labral, even the people who like it say, well, you know, the only problem is that it doesn't completely stop periods. There's still some spotting and unscheduled bleeding, which is awful because you don't know when that's going to happen. And then in addition to that, they don't mention it, but I have to think that you're going to feel like you're about to get your period a lot and never get it. Additionally, there are two studies that show fractures increased by 20% with long continual use of a high synthetic estradiol. 25 to 33%. Well, this estradiol increases your sort of estrogen exposure by 25 to 33%. It makes it all higher. So it brings up all kinds of issues here. Now, birth control pills are famous for causing all kinds of problems. You don't even have to look very far. In the literature I mentioned, in Sweden, they did a long study in Sweden. This is something that John mentioned during the show that I did in 2000 with you guys, that they, I'm trying to think if I've got it here. Here it is. They were the first, Sweden was the first to use synthetic hormones in birth control pills. And they started using them on extremely young women. 20 years later, it increased their risk of premenopausal, so breast cancer, so young women with breast cancer, by six times the number. And the longer the use, the higher the risk. So needless to say, in Sweden, they stopped using birth control pills for the most part. The other thing is that it appears that John, in his book, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Premenopause, lists all of the symptoms and problems associated with the use of birth control. And these are all from real research. 6 times greater risk of thrombosis, blood clots. 4 times greater risk of dying from a stroke. 4 times the risk of heart attack, 3 times the risk of headaches, double the risk of migraine headaches, double the risk of high blood pressure, double the risk of death from an accident or violence, moodiness, double the risk of dying from cancer, especially cervical, breast, and endometrial cancer in young women, increased risk of ovarian cancer, increased risk of cancer in smokers. You're not ever supposed to smoke on these things. More thyroid and liver cancers. Lots of mention in the literature about liver problems and blocking antioxidants in the liver. Increased risk, altered immune function, reduction of antioxidants, especially in the liver. Higher rate of birth defects and birthmarks in the children of the women who use these. Increased risk of osteoporosis by blood vessel abnormalities in the bone. Increased risk of ovarian cysts, infections, urinary tract problems, cervical erosion, that's dysplasia, allergies, gallbladder disease, sinus infections, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, lung disease, epilepsy, loss of libido, infertility, pituitary tumors and schizophrenia, higher rates of anti-anxiety drug use or sleeping pill use.
Lena, let's look at the bright side.
Up.
it stops you from having a menstrual cycle.
Yay for that. Boy, you know, your life will stop your menstrual cycle over a period of time, too. I mean, I started using transdermal progesterone in my 30s. So I never had a problem with my periods. They were completely great. I knew Raymond Pete, in my 30s, started using his product, and never had a problem, never had any lumps in my breasts, never had any problems with my periods. And when my periods stopped because I was using the natural progesterone, it wasn't terrible. It's interesting, too, because most women are taking these extremely low-dose birth control pills. And most of them that I talk to say, honestly, I don't feel bad on these. But that's not what Labril is. Labril is not a low dose. It is a high-dose birth control pill. And we've seen the rates of breast cancer increase in women my age who took high-dose birth control pills go through the roof. So it's really hard to imagine that there is any upside, really, to this. Again, what I'm saying is you're risking your bone mass, this list I just went over. If to stop your periods while you're fertile is not healthy, it's healthy to have a period. If you have symptoms with your period, there's something that's a symptom we can address. We can address those symptoms. There's natural, bioidentical, transdermal progesterone available over the counter, at least for the next 10 minutes or so before somebody tries to take it away, because there is issues. But women can be tested with saliva. They can be tested with urine tests to check their levels of free circulating hormones to see what is afoot when they have symptoms. There is no reason to castrate young women, and it is not healthy. Would you agree?
Oh, I fully agree. There are lots of reasons why they have irregularities in their menstrual cycles. One of which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is probably 10-20% of the female population today. It's huge, big, big problem.
Fully controllable by changing your diet and avoiding starchy, sugary foods.
Yeah, it's starting with stress and poor diet. And bad habits, smoking, and things of that nature. So, you correct those, and it's a weight issue also. It's related to insulin resistance. But we see characteristically these women have irregular menstrual cycles. They have high levels of androgens like testosterone in their bloodstream, and we see it in saliva, and we see it in blood, and they have the irregular menstrual cycles. More hair on their body, more acne, things of that nature, which is related to the higher levels of
testosterone. Some of these women are not overweight, too. I see thin ones, too. And ironically, what doctors traditionally do with these women is give them birth control pills to get their periods going. And birth control pills tends to make women more androgenic, gives them an effect like there's more testosterone.
It can do that because some of the birth control pills are androgenic in their nature. The problem with the birth control, the birth control pill will get rid of the acne often. It'll help, and that's what they use it for. They'll say, okay, well, you've got acne. So they treat the symptom. They don't treat the underlying cause of the problem. The cause really starts with insulin resistance, being often overweight and producing too much insulin in the body from diet, from stress, from any number of different things. So they actually make the insulin resistance worse. So long-term health with regard to diabetes and the cardiovascular system are negative. Yes, you get rid of your acne, but you'll create lots of other problems long-term.
Well, and bioidentical progesterone will get rid of your acne as well.
It'll help. It will help do that.
I've seen it work.
It's all about, it's about stress reduction. It's about exercise. It's about the right, habits of eating and life. So sometimes you can't remove all the stressors in your life. But
Well, you balance them with recovery and then, again, add in the natural bioidentical progesterone.
Progesterone often helps to trigger a normal menstrual cycle. And this is all related, long-term it's related to in very increased risk for diabetes and heart disease. Short term, it's going to be associated with infertility in these women. We see this every day. We see it hundreds of times a day in the testing that we do. So it is a huge problem in our society today.
You're listening to David Zava, Z as in zebra, A-V-A, Dr. David Zava from ZRT Labs. Their website is zrtlab.com. Z as in zebra. You're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and this and Jeff Fawcett is with me, and we're talking about menstrual suppression cautions. I just came across another little thing I found in John's book, which is that serotonin, which everybody is after in their pills, serotonin deficiency, they think causes depression, and estrogens can raise serotonin, but synthetic estrogens maybe not so much, and then oral contraceptives with the fake progestins in them interfere with serotonin. So that might be one of the other things that causes women to end up on anti-anxiety drugs or other things when they're taking birth control pills. The other thing is that birth control pills block all of the heart protective vitamins, all of the B vitamins, the B6 and the B12 and the folic acid, all of those important heart protective vitamins, and then beta carotene. It causes stress to the liver, blocks the antioxidants to the liver, lowers magnesium and manganese, which is how you keep your bones strong, not just calcium. Calcium has to be able to work in concert. So there's all these reasons for not doing this, and very little reason for blocking your periods. It's hard to talk about this issue without being cynical about Jeffrey, about the motivations of the pharmaceutical companies. It's hard not to think that this is just another, what do they call it when they have a off-label, another off-label use?
Libryl is very much intended to be, the on-label use is intended to suppress menstruation.
No, I know, it's just taking birth control pills and repackaging them, though. And then it leaves open a possibility of selling more of the bone-protecting drugs.
Well, you get, with Libryl, you get less breakthrough bleeding, because when you take a birth control pill and then you use the placebo, you get not a real period, but you get breakthrough bleeding.
Well, they're saying with this that there's breakthrough bleeding with this too.
You get less of it, and that's kind of what how they're trying to sell it, is you'll get less breakthrough bleeding. So the literature says, well, women will have to buy less materials to take care of the bleeding, and it'll be just more convenient for them.
Gosh, I miss my periods, you know? Yeah.
Menstruation. So,
I miss it. I miss my periods.
It has all the same problems that the other birth control pills have. There's, still increased risk for stroke, heart attack, all the things that are associated with birth control pills. But like I said, the long term with the use of these things is going to create a big problem for women.
Yeah, we're going to sacrifice the bones and liver and...
You don't see those things for, 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, well, it's going to come. Jeff had something.
Well, I was just going to, in a way, flog this idea again, but the shift here, in terms of the message that's coming out, is there's a subtle shift between birth control, problem menstruation, and menstruation as a problem. There's this great citation that I found in an article in on the heels of this FDA approval from the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. Last fall, Dr. Ginger Constantine, director of Women's Health for Wyeth Labs, stood in front of Wall Street analysts and described how women hate their periods, cramps, heavy bleeding, and a whole list of stuff. And then she says, so who wouldn't want to get rid of this? So that's pretty clear as to where this is going. It's menstruation is a problem. We have a solution. And that's the marketing angle.
It's very misogynistic. I'm sorry, but menstruation.
That's why I opened with that quote.
Yeah, it's very misogynistic. In fact, David, I just found another note I have here from the show that we did in 2000, which was the whole thing started, with this... these guys, Pike and Henderson, who wrote that article about, just do Lupron, stop their periods altogether, because when women were running around naked and hunter-gathering, they were pregnant or lactating, so they didn't have periods anyway. And that protects them from cancer, not having exposure. And what you said is that we have so much precocious puberty now. Women are starting their menstruation so young from all the xenoestrogens and all the chemicals in the environment, the pesticides and too much sugar, and the breast tissue is then being exposed for very long periods to these high levels of estrogen. And in young breasts, when they're close to puberty, their vulnerability, increasing the estrogen, increases their vulnerability to having the estrogen begin to create metabolites that are damaging to the DNA through exposure to chemicals and viruses and radiation. So there's going to be more growth factors. And that's why progesterone is particularly important really early on because of the differentiation. And here we have this, again, this very powerful synthetic estrogen, which is like all the xenoestrogens out there, which is persistent and potent and suppresses the tissue response to all the other hormones. Really scary.
Well, and there's a follow-on issue to that is those estrogens are making it into the environment because what your body can't use, you urinate out, it goes into a wastewater system, which ends up in a body of water, which ends up in somebody's water supply. They're already seeing it in studies that they're doing of various species that are in streams that are fed out of downstream from wastewater plants.
Well, and what we're doing here too is we're sneaking in a higher dose birth control pill. We've got the birth control pills down to a really low dose. Now we're pushing the dose back up, and overdosing women on hormones, just as we did with women in menopause, just seriously overdosing. And when you overdose, David, you talk about this all the time, it shuts down all the receptor activity, and you have symptoms of low hormones.
It can cause that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a pretty bad scene. I think we've made it clear that we don't recommend the use of these drugs. I think it's pretty clear. Oh, where will
it stop? For those women, I can say that for those women that do use birth control pills, a lot of the symptoms that they experience, what I hear in my lectures around the country, what I hear physicians saying is that they can eliminate a lot of those problems by using natural progesterone in concert with the birth control pill. It's not going to keep it from being a contraceptive.
Oh, well, that's interesting because I've had people ask me that. Can I use transdermal natural bioidentical
progesterone?
There's
always the issue of, well, what if I become pregnant doing that? Haven't seen that, and it, you know, biologically doesn't make any sense because progesterone will suppress pregnancy also if it's high enough level, because that's what happens during pregnancies. Your progesterone level goes up very high, and you don't ovulate again. You don't start making another baby at the same time you got one in the cooker. So, progesterone does block ovulation, natural progesterone, but usually can't get natural progesterone up high enough, and that's where the synthetic progesterone is such a potent molecule that it will, you know, prevent ovulation or prevent pregnancy. And that's part of its problem also, is because it's too potent. Progesterone can create the same kinds of problems if you get the level up too high.
Well, synthetic progesterone, but I think with natural bioidentical progesterone, if you get your level up too high, you basically go to sleep because it's so has such an anesthesia.
It'll convert into allopregnanolone. It'll hit the GABA receptors in the brain. It'll put you to sleep. Yeah,
yeah, it basically makes you tired and blue. People get a little depressed if they overdose on it.
You can. But that's, you know, the typical doses that people use are not creating those problems.
No.
Majority of women.
Yeah, no. And what I tell women is if you just stop your dose, if you just back off for... and also, there's the other thing is that there's this nonsense about forcing postmenopausal women to menstruate, because now we've got this double message going. You know, you're supposed to bleed after menopause, so we're supposed to dump all these hormones into you to get you to bleed because of your endometrial lining, but here we're going to stop women's periods when they're young. It just makes me incredibly crazy.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's more of a long-term problem than it is a short-term problem.
Yeah. But anyway, just to be clear, all of these hormones, when you use them bioidentical hormones through the skin, you're using teensy-beensy, tiny little doses. You really only need as much as you do to just affect a very modest change so that your symptoms have abated. So if they change, symptoms don't feel right, you just back down on your dose and wait a week or so, and you'll start feeling differently. It happens very quickly. In the old show that we did in 2000, we were talking about all the women who come in to see all of us with enormously high levels of estrogen because their doctors are giving them for instance, doses that would normally be used orally that's going through the gut and the liver first pass through the skin where you don't need to use that much. So there's all kinds of reasons to dose down, use smaller doses. It's harder to go down once you've gone up because you get these symptoms. But, you know, I always say to women, you start with these very small doses of bioidentical hormones if you need them. If you're, you know, you do a saliva test or you can do a urine test and check your levels and see what the ratio is between these hormones and then make your decision. So, and use really tiny amounts because you can go up and it's hard to go down anyway. We're just about out of time. David, you've been so generous to spend this hour with us.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
I could help.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. David Zava, Z as in zebra, A, V as in Victor, A, Zava from ZRT Lab, ZRTLab.com. And I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Lena Berman. Now, there's information about your own health and fitness, including our July 1st appearance, our live appearance, our guests, the Progressive Health Observer, a news commentary alternative to big box medicine, and a free stream of this week's show. And there's lots more at yourownhealthandfitness.org. Our information number is 707-874-2772. Your Own Health and Fitness is produced by Lena Berman and Dr. Jeffrey Fawcett. Remember, being informed not only protects your health, it protects your freedom.